Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast. Other Ship Monday, Sidepog Sidepig. Mm. A show that happens twice a week.
Mm. Yes.
So not semi-weekly, not bi-weekly. It happens twice a week.
It could be either.
We're two old guys talk about old and interesting games. I'm your bearded host, Tyler. And this week on Reddit, on the Ask Reddit subreddit, they asked, what is the cringiest thing you did in middle school? Most of the time I just read Ask Reddit, but this time I had to reply because I have a pretty cringy thing I did. In the sixth grade, there was a girl that I was like, I don't think I'd ever had a crush this strong on a girl. Like, it was just, she permeated my thoughts day and night. Like, I was nigh obsessed with this girl.
Did you send her Garfield inspired poems?
That's what I was missing. But she was, I sat beside her in like every class and we were friends.
Mm-hmm.
She had a boyfriend. I was like, I knew like if she just didn't have that boyfriend, then I could probably get in there. But they were strong, no indication that they would break up.
We're not going to have to edit this intro out, are we?
there are no other things involved. So, I was too chicken shit to ask for like her phone number. So, I find out she went to church with Josh Nance of...
Uniracers
fame. The one where Josh Nance dies fame.
Oh, he's upgraded.
So, I found out her parents' phone number. So, I get out the phone book. If you know what that is, the phone book. Look up, find her phone number, call her, pretend to be her boyfriend.
What was his name? Do you remember?
His name was Luke.
His name was Gary. I like that you remember his name was Luke. Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, I remember I've known that guy for a long time. I remember everything about
him. I remember because he beat my ass.
Well, I should have. But I pretended to be him. I made it real quick because I knew I couldn't keep up the ruse very long. So I called her, broke up with her.
Were you using your dog boy?
Hey, we need to break up.
Sorry, Clarissa. Also, this isn't your dad.
But I broke up with her and hung up the phone immediately after breaking up with her. Call her back as me to console her about it. The ruse, after I called her back, the ruse didn't last very long before she caught on and she kind of laughed about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they got off the phone with me pretty quickly. And the next day, I'm like, oh shit, what's Luke's going to be pissed? But he didn't try to fight me or anything.
Yeah.
How he got his revenge on me is he knew where I sat in my math class. And he tore up all my homework.
Wait, what do you mean? Like, did you keep your homework in your desk or something?
I kept my homework, like, in a folder underneath my desk. So he got into it, ripped it all up.
Mistake.
And then he got in trouble for ripping out my homework. So that makes him double mad. We don't speak. I bet I didn't speak to him again until, like, my junior year of high school. So.
Was he still dating the girl then?
Nope. They like, really did break up, like, a week later after that.
You're just helping him out.
But my cringiest moment in middle school.
I'm Dave, your bespectacled host, and I never really, I was scared of girls in middle school, definitely, certainly more scared, scared to a degree where I wouldn't call a girl. I remember I went with a girl, which I think, like, I've been watching a lot of British shows, and when
middle schoolers do.
No, I recently have.
Oh, okay. Middle school Dave was very into Alan Partridge and Fawlty Towers.
I was into Red Dwarf. Remember when they showed that on PBS? Because they used to show, that's the only way you could watch BBC shows is on PBS, like at 4 a.m. on a Sunday or something. Man, I completely forgot where I was going with this story. I never called a girl in middle school because I was too scared, but I went with a girl. That's right. And on all these British shows now, I'm hearing when they say went with a girl, I think that's like code for slept with. So I think that's interesting. I didn't sleep with any girls in middle school, but I did. There was a girl in middle school that I liked, and she liked me. And we would walk home from school together because we lived four houses down. And then we get to our street and then just awkwardly separate, like neither of us knowing like what to do, like how to say have no idea what to say to each other. And we just drift off to our own houses. I often wonder where she is now. And like
still walking for Lauren. Yeah,
if she's still like as like socially awkward as I am, like did like that cause like if I meet her and I'm like, oh yeah, you're completely social awkward, I'll know that that time we spent together is what created that. Mm-hmm.
That's a very anime moment.
Yes, it is. also when I got home, I got beat up and I kept getting up. Every time they would beat me down, Tyler, I would get up and dramatic music would play.
She was very impressed.
I just, because that scene is
David Nietzsche.
That shit's like in every episode of Naruto, right?
Yep.
Every time I see that, I'm like, the creator of Naruto must have just really liked Cool Hand Luke. Because there's a scene of Cool Hand Luke where they're fighting in the prison yard, and that's pretty much the scene. So every time I see it in Naruto, I'm like, stole it from Cool Hand Luke.
Kishimoto, that fucking Paul Newman fan.
I'm just waiting for the episode of Naruto where it's probably Lady Tsunade because she's the bustiest. I'm waiting for the episode where she's like washing a car.
Teasing all the other ninjas.
All the ninjas are just like watching her just, if we weren't in jail, if we weren't in ninja jail.
If we were 80 years older, man.
I'd pet her slug.
If you watch Naruto, you get that. If not, that's very weird. But today,
yes,
is part two of our Walking Dead epic.
Ugh.
Walking Dead epic. This is, well, so we did part one.
Ugh.
We live streamed playing of Walking Dead season 2, episode 1.
Yeah, if you want to watch that, go do a search for Tadpog on twitch.tv real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And you can watch a video of Tyler, myself, Miller, and Nicole playing Walking Dead season 2, episode 1.
I think we had a good time.
I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed doing it. I want to stream again. I like streaming. I just don't like everything that comes after it.
Yeah.
Like trying to figure out how do I get this video to YouTube without splitting it into 15 separate videos and all that kind
of. Yeah, YouTube does not want us to be on YouTube.
Yeah, they're flagging all like video game videos as copyright infringement. So I don't know what's up. We need to ask Paul Paul playing today. How he does it, because I sure can't figure it out.
Somehow it's magic. It's magic what Paul does. So go there, find our video. It stays black for a while, but it will load and you can't watch it.
Yeah, it's just because it's such a long video. It's almost 2 hours long. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it takes a little while to buffer.
So you listen to Tadpog on your way to and from work, and you want more? You want to see us play a game? Then you can watch a two-hour video of us playing episode one.
In your car, on your way to work. It's completely safe.
Still, well, that's what I used to do going back and forth from Louisville when I had my video iPod, Jesus. And I would mount it next to my steering wheel and watch like the whole season 3 of The Office.
Well, we did that going to a wedding in Albuquerque.
27 hours.
We watched season 3 of The Office twice on your video iPod. You, me, and Josh Nance were just huddled up, like watching the seasons on this like
2-inch screen, just laughing.
That reminds me of when I should have saved this for an intro, but fuck it. The people who really want us to talk about this game are not going to like my contributions because I'm just going to try to avoid talking about The Walking Dead as long as I can. I remember when I first got a video iPod, and they were new when I first got it, and I had a similar cradle to you, you know, that plugged into the cigarette lighter in the car, and then you mount your video iPod on it. I remember just for the fuck of it, just because I could, I loaded it up with all kinds of porn and just put it in the car and just drove around. And I would, like, several of our friends, I asked, you want to get in the car and watch some pornography on the road?
Come, Frank, get into my porn mobile. Have you ever tried to masturbate while driving?
Briefly, yeah.
You need cruise control.
Yeah,
I tried it and didn't have cruise control. So I'm like going like 60, and then I'm going like 20, and then I'm like, oh shit, I gotta speed up again, and I go back down to 20.
I'm always like, when I feel the need and I'm on a long trip by myself, I always...
As one does.
You know, like you do. Those of you listening and judging me right now, really search your soul. I know you've been in at least one scenario where you've been driving on a long trip and you've been like, God damn, I'm kind of fucking horny.
This gooter is killing me. It's overwhelming me.
I mean, what are you going to do? Every time I think about it and I'll start, you know, because you rub a little bit above the pants before you go. You gotta make yourself feel sexy, right? Before you can get into
it. A little romance.
A little bit, yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're not barbarians.
Everybody likes a little foreplay. Yeah.
So I can never get past that point because I'm always like, you know what? If I take my dick out of my, I'm sorry, I was crude of me. If I take my gooter out of my pants right now and start going to Rub Town,
start extracting the gooter goblin.
Yes. Milking the gooter, like we say back home. If I start milking the gooter, I know I'm going to get in a car accident and the cops are going to know what's up. Yep. And they're going to have to tell my mom, well, he was probably masturbating on the interstate.
You happen to drive by like one of those red lights that has like the camera and it catches you.
All beady-eyed, like looking out the window.
Just like bent over and angry right before you get in a wreck.
We're pretty sure he was masturbating to Subway billboards. I really don't.
He had an iPhone full of pornography in his car. And mind you, it was rather crude pornography. All right, Walking Dead.
Walking Dead.
So last time we had gotten to the farmhouse is where we left off.
Yeah? Okay.
Something we'd forgot to mention about the guy getting his leg cut off. Right for that is where you acquire Ben.
Okay. Who is he? Remind me.
Ben is the...
It's been a long time.
The high school kid.
Oh, yeah.
That constantly fucks shit up.
Yeah, I really liked Ben.
Ben does... He never does anything right during the course of the game.
I liked Ben up until... There's something he does... And this is awful because I haven't played in a long time. There's something that Ben does where I'm like, no, you done fucked up. I think it was in the train episode. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly what he does, but he does something that I considered just unforgivable. I think it involved Clementine.
Yeah, he... I remember what you're talking about, and
I wish I could be specific.
Yeah, because he was something has something to do with Kenny and Katja and Duck.
Yeah,
and Clementine.
I really felt betrayed by him. Mm-hmm. I really didn't care much for that episode, honestly. The one with the train.
Mm-hmm. Well, you meet the mystical hobo,
right?
Who helps you about your way, helps Lee discover some things about himself.
Yep, there is a scene. I like the scene in that where Lee teaches Clementine to shoot.
Yeah.
I think that's a really touching scene. Although it introduces the first person shooting mechanic. I don't think it's used before then.
Yeah.
I'm kind of jumping ahead because we were talking about the farm. The train's much later than that.
Yeah, it was the next episode because in the farmhouse you finally find the electric fence. Lily and Larry think something's wrong. You have a new guy with you. That you haven't had very long. I can't remember his name because he's not actually in the game very long.
Spoilers.
And then he goes to help.
Oh, should we give our disclaimer? Yeah.
Spoilers in this, like crazy spoilers. Yeah, We're breaking down everything about this game.
So if this is your first episode and you haven't played The Walking
Dead. While you're starting on part two, we're not sure.
You never know. But I don't want to discourage people from just, some people just like to pick up right in the middle.
But yep, spoilers abound. So stop, play the game.
Pause it.
We'll wait for you.
Pull your gooter out or your lady gooter.
Your lady gooter.
Because I don't want to discriminate. I'm fine. I'm all for everyone masturbating on the internet, not just men.
Yep. Everybody getting a video iPod, like a video iPod classic, this new iPod Touch.
You gotta have the actual wheel on the device.
Like I still do right here in front of me. This is what I prefer.
Oh, shit. You do.
Mm-hmm.
I never noticed that.
It's the only thing. Like iPod Touch only goes
it's the only thing I'll masturbate
to. Strictly. You can tell where it's worn on the sides of my fingers holding it. No, it's 160 gigs. So iPod Touch doesn't even come close to that.
Yeah.
And for all the music and audiobooks I have on it.
And you don't have an iPhone, so.
Nope.
If you had one, then. You'd probably keep your media there.
Because I love my Droid, but it's garbage for streaming any sort of media.
Yeah.
But Walking Dead spoilers. Oh, spoilers Walking Dead. All right.
I thought it was doing really good.
You're trying. But you find the dairy farm with a mother and her two sons.
Mm-hmm.
They're super nice.
Really, really friendly. Yeah,
bring you in. They're going to help you with everything.
Mm-hmm.
The new guy you just met, he goes to help the mother. I think he might have just been shot, actually. And she goes to take care of him.
Yeah, because those bandits.
Yeah, the bandits shoot him.
Yeah.
So she goes in and she's going to take care of him. He's in the house while Lee does some errands and helps, like Katya is a vet, so she goes to help with one of the sick cows.
And she's Kenny's wife.
Mm-hmm. Kenny's wife, Duck's mother.
What's Kenny do? Do we ever figure out what Kenny does? Is he just a drunk guy?
I think he's just like the epitome of
making town drunk.
Man, he's Kenny. He's got a mullet and a mustache and a Russian wife.
He's Alabama man, essentially. Yep. From that South Park episode, yep. He's Alabama man.
But she's taking care of the cow, Clementine and Duck, kind of, they're with her, so Lee's kind of on his own with this episode.
And Lee does shit like fixing generators and stuff mm-hmm. like that.
There's a lot of like farmhouse, you fix a swing mm-hmm. for Clementine.
Right.
And, you know, help her swing. And she remembers that
Clementine will remember this. Mm-hmm. So easy go. It's easy. Mm-hmm. Like a Sunday morning on the farm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Game over. That's how the series ends.
And until basically to make this chapter sort of abbreviated, the three farmhouse people are cannibals. When it's about time for you to go in and eat, Lee goes upstairs when he's not supposed to and finds your injured friend with no legs. Mm-hmm. They've chopped up his legs, and that's what they are cooking for you to eat.
Right.
So once they catch Lee, then they throw everybody in their sealed like freezer in the house. Mm-hmm. And that's when Larry has a heart attack and dies. But it's been sort of, they sort of reveal that you don't have to be bitten by a zombie in order to turn into a zombie. If you just die, mm-hmm. I guess it's in the air.
It's airborne,
and then you turn. Mm-hmm. So they know they're locked in this room, and Larry dies. And it's Clementine, Lee, Kenny, and Lily, who is Larry's daughter. Lily does not want to do anything else. She kind of goes into shock. Kenny realizes he's going to turn. We're trapped in here.
Right.
We have to smash his head
in. And this is a tense moment. Mm-hmm. Because you're trapped in there with him and his daughter. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to do anything about it, you're going to have to kill her father in front of her.
Mm-hmm. So you have the choice to either side with Kenny or side with Lily. Mm-hmm. I sided with Lily.
What?
My goal, I wanted to romance Lily. So I was...
Why? She's awful.
I don't know. I like Lily.
She's such an awful person.
I like awful women.
She's just awful. Meg's not awful.
She's the worst. I love her. She's the worst.
Lily is just, she's so mean.
Well, I killed Carly. I saved Doug. I don't have any other options. If Lee wants to get his dick wet, it's Lily or no one.
Well, I mean... That's true. Who knows who you'll meet? Mm-hmm. It's a, there are a lot of fish in that sea.
There are a limited number of survivors in that sea.
There's always the old.
That's true. But then Kenny sort of, even if you help him or not, mm-hmm. he picks up a cinder block and smashes Larry's head in. So they turn Clementine away so she won't see it. But Lily then really freaks out.
Yeah.
And sort of just goes into, she's sort of just... catatonic at that point, and she just kind of goes through the motions. But you're able to use change in Larry's pocket to take off the air conditioning grate, and you send Clementine through, and she can unlock the door for you and let you out. And then it becomes a scenario of you trying to get out.
Yeah, escape the cannibal house.
You basically then have the option of just, you can kill everyone on your way out, or mm-hmm. you can sort of talk and maneuver your way and leave without killing anybody.
I really like this chapter a lot. This was one of my favorite chapters. It was super slow in the beginning, mm-hmm. but it's all set up. Like, once you realize that it's all set up, the payoff is so worth it, I thought. Mm-hmm. Because it's like the end has almost even this, like, the last half of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like, it almost has that feeling where you're just eating dinner with these psychopaths, essentially. Mm. And then shit gets really, really crazy.
Yeah.
And then extremely tense when you're in the situation we just described, killing your love interest father.
Yep. Yep. But I didn't kill anybody. I just let them go. You're crazy people.
You killed your wife's lover.
Yeah, killed. Killed this girl. I had a crush on her. Killed her dad.
But that's backstory.
I mean, no big deal. Just killed her dad. But then that's when your other people that you left at the motel catch up with you. You escape by killing or running, get in the RV, and ride off, leaving them there. But the generator breaks. So you know they're kind of, either the bandits that are out there are going to get them or the zombies are going to get them.
Right.
So you can basically kill them or just leave them to their fate. But then sort of a strange choice, as you're fleeing in the RV, the chapter ends with you finding an abandoned car.
Yes.
And the car is loaded with supplies.
Yeah, I've got a problem with this whole scenario, and I'm willing to bet you know what my problem with it is. You're given the choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not you allow Clementine to take supplies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that decision is for Lee as well.
Mm-hmm.
What did you decide? Did you decide to take supplies?
Well, Clementine said she didn't feel right about it. So I rolled with that and said everybody else can have supplies.
I did too. I went that same route. This ties into the ending of the game heavily.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like the decision that you make right then and there, I think that should have a major effect on the ending of the game.
I 100% agree, and it's bullshit that it doesn't.
Because I felt cheated at this part where at the end when it's revealed the connection, I felt really cheated because it was like, I didn't take any of your stuff. Like, yeah. I understand from a narrative how it still works because everyone else took supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Should we just go ahead and, I mean, if people are listening, they already know how it ends.
Mm-hmm.
At the very end of the game, the owner of that car, right,
mm-hmm.
Essentially attempts to kill Lee
mm-hmm.
for vengeance for stealing their supplies.
Yep, because after that, his family kind of abandoned him and died.
Right.
And he blames you, which, yeah, if you didn't take anything, it should have changed something.
Right.
But illusion of choice, it doesn't. I guess the designer of the game probably predicted, oh, they'll probably take it. They'll probably take the supplies.
Either that or they can use the option of this man is clearly not mentally stable.
Mm-hmm.
So it really doesn't matter whether you did or not because he's going to have misdirected anger towards you because you were part of the group.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like I said, I understand from a narrative. I just wish there was a difference.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. It's frustrating that there wasn't. But then after you loot that car, then you get back in the RV. Or don't loot the car. Everybody else loots the car. And drive on, you make it to the train yard. And everybody decides to get out and check out the train.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
On the way, you pull over. For me, Lily has a gun. She gets in an argument.
This is why I think Lily is an awful, awful person. Please go ahead.
Yep, she gets in an argument and then accidentally shoots either Doug or who's the girl that you saved? What was her name?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
I can't remember who she is, what her name is.
Carly.
Thank you. Yeah,
it's either Doug or Carly, which Carly, I think you do have a romantic encounter with.
Yes.
You can.
And see, you didn't save Carly, so you don't know. Yeah.
I guess I could romance Doug, but
Carly expresses feelings for Lee if you save her. In episode 2, she expresses that she also cares for Lee. And you kind of get this, like if this were a sitcom, the audience would go,
ooh yeah.
You get a lot of that. So yes, tell me what happens to Carly or Doug.
They get an argument and then Lily accidentally kills them.
Oh my God.
Shoots them in the head and they die.
Like that is a part in the game where I was just so furious. Like I wish there was an option. Like I wish there had been an option to take the gun and just fucking shoot her right there.
Yeah, I think you can. The best you can do is you could leave her behind.
I stranded. I was like, yep, pull over. You're out of here, psycho. Mm-hmm. You are clearly an awful person. Get out.
No, I boarded that Lily train. I was going to ride to the end. So I took the gun away from her and let her back on the RV.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. So for me, when you get to the train yard, there's a train blocking the tracks. So you're trying to figure out how to either ride the train or move it so the RV can get by. You have to investigate the train.
And this is a part I did not like.
So for me, since I had Lily with me, she then tells Lee, I want to get out of here. Come with me. So I said, okay, yeah, let's leave together. Okay, game didn't like that. We're not going to take it that far. She just leaves. And then she just takes the RV and everybody's out and drives off.
Oh, so she's a complete asshole again.
Yep.
Yay.
Yep.
I mean, you did kill her dad.
You
didn't.
I didn't kill her dad. I lit her back on the RV. I said I would leave with her.
You did everything good for this woman, and what did she do?
Nope.
I'm telling you, she's a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and judge her, okay? I'm going to go ahead and judge her.
God, I love the bad girls, Dave. Like Meg, she's so mean. She's so mean. I love her. Love it. Love how mean she is to everybody all the time.
Well, I mean, okay. She seems nice in the show. I don't know.
Mm-mm. She killed my friend Doug, but In a weird fan fiction where Meg feels Gary.
I was gonna say, I don't think that was Meg. I do want to see your show notes, though.
But then they're all like, oh, well, I guess we got to ride this train. Let's get the train working.
Yeah, well, getting the train work was like, I felt like this was the part of the game that was the most classic adventure game. Walk around and click on shit until the train starts moving.
Yep.
I really didn't like this part of the game because that's what I felt like I was doing. Walk to one part of the train, click around on shit. Walk to another part of the train, click around until something happens. Mm-hmm. Walk to the front, click around again. Train takes off.
And there's like a there's like a diagram of, you know, to start train, pull lever this way and press this button, and then you have to walk around and do that.
I thought it was kind of a bullshit puzzle because it's not really a puzzle. It's just chores. Like once you find the chart on the the diagram to tells you how to do everything, it's really just doing chores.
Because they had that for training conductors in the cab.
Right.
Yeah.
In case you forgot how to do your job.
Because I guess, same thing like Phantom Train Fantasy 6, you walk up, how do we stop the train? Instructions to stop the train.
Right.
Instructions to get the train started and walking it. Okay, sure.
All it's
right,
been in two games. If we can find a third game that it's in, we know it's fact.
Yeah.
That's law. That's law.
We're going to have to go to the train yard and just start looking in conductor's booths.
It has to be a game. Okay. It can't be real life. We can't physically check.
Well, like in that train, that's where you find, I forget the old man's name, but you find him and he...
The
magical hobo. Basically, then Kenny's having a hard time because Duck is very, very sick at this point.
Yeah.
And it finds out that Duck has been bitten and they've been kind of concealing it.
Yeah.
And then right before the train starts moving... Duck sort of starts to turn completely. Mm-hmm. Katja picks him up. They run off to the woods, and then you and Kenny go after them. And at that point, that's when Duck changes. Mm-hmm. And then you have the choice of what are you going to do? So
what are your options? Give me my options.
Basically, it's either Kenny has to shoot Duck or you have to shoot Duck.
Which did you choose? You can
do. I
shot Duck as well. I wanted to spare Kenny that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming he's mad at you either way.
No, when you do it for him, he thanks you for it. So, I mean, he's still upset. But
yeah, I forgot about that. For some reason, I thought he held resentment towards you for doing it.
If you make him do it, he kind of... That's when he remembers that and he takes a negative attitude towards you.
Oh, okay.
But then you shoot Duck, and then whenever both of you turn around, Katja then grabs the gun and kills herself.
If you miss Duck, the dog comes up from the bottom of the screen and giggles at you.
Now shoot the damn dog.
And then you just get closer to the screen.
Just pull the trigger really rapidly.
Until you successfully shoot
then
Duck.
Then fucking Katja, of course, kills herself and now leaves Kenny completely alone in the world, loses his son and his wife in the span of 5 seconds.
Yeah, that tugs at the heartstrings a little bit.
Which is, And then, of course, Kenny gets back on the train and he's incredibly upset.
Mm-hmm.
And Magical Hobo basically talks Lee and Kenny down as you activate the train and continue on. Oh, there's Trainsy.
There's Trainsy. Heard us talking about a train. Yep. I don't think we're picking Trainsy up, but
I didn't hear it last time. But trust me, listener, there's a train there.
We started talking about a train, and who comes around? Oh, horny Trainsy. You know, talking about train.
I've got an iPod video in there. I've got instructions on how to operate the iPod video with the pornography.
I heard y'all got a train going. Want me to take over from here?
But while you're riding, he talks to you, and you end up... I think that's when you get to Savannah. That's sort of where your last... Well, you're going through the train yard.
Right.
Episode ends, and then when it picks back up, you're going through the train yard in, and it stops, and that's where you meet Omid and Krista.
Who I really love both of these characters. Mm-hmm. You meet them, they're on top of an intersection.
Because the train is, it's blocked by another part of the train is like collapsed from the bridge going down.
Right.
Blocking the tracks.
So you have to climb up, and you see they're up top. They're being chased by walkers. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe so.
I'm having a hard time remembering.
You help them out, and then you have to go with them and explore part of the train yard that's boarded up.
Yeah.
And get keys.
Right.
And, of course, go up and sort of electrical circuit to move the train again so your train can get by. Which
I really like that part because you're scrounging for supplies with two people you just met and you don't know anything about them.
Mm-hmm.
I think they designed it this way to make you kind of play maybe on your distrust, especially against Omid.
Yeah, and Krista, because Krista's very standoffish.
That's very true. And so, you're in this like dark...
Omid's like a jokester, so you don't really know how to take that
right,
from a stranger.
Whether
like,
or not he's,
are
yeah.
they crazy?
Right, exactly. Because I didn't know if he was a psycho or what was going on. And then based on everything Krista's doing, it's like, well, I'm just waiting for her to fucking stab me in the kidney.
And then like bandits roll up and the train starts going and you're trying to chase down the train.
Right.
So Lee jumps on and then you have the option of either helping Omid or Krista pulling them up onto the train.
Right. Who did you choose?
I pulled up Krista.
I pulled up Omid.
Because I figured, I just could imagine like if I pull up Omid and then Krista might get left behind or something. I feel like if I pull up Krista, Omid's going to understand because that's his wife. He's probably going to want her to be pulled up. So that's why I pulled up Krista.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, then that resulted in Omid still made it, but like broke his leg in the process. I don't know if it's the reverse if you save Omid, if Krista then gets injured or not.
I really wish you hadn't asked me that because I can't remember. I remember Omid being furious with me.
Yeah.
I remember that. But my reasoning was, I don't know, man. My reasoning was, I don't know these two. Omid is going to be more useful to the group than Krista, more than likely. Mm-hmm. Just because I don't even know what her skills and abilities are.
Yeah, she was just angry.
Right, exactly. And it's like, I've just been, how many times have we been betrayed by people like that up to this point? A lot of times.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I kind of took Omid for face value and saved him.
Oh, okay. Something we kind of left out. This whole time, that walkie-talkie that you have.
What walkie-talkie? That you picked up at Clem's house from after defeating babysitter zombie?
Yep. Because Clem has it still anticipating hearing her parents.
Right.
But it turns out somebody else has the other walkie-talkie and they've been talking to her the whole time and kind of steering you toward Savannah.
Yeah.
And then that's when Lee finally hears whoever, somebody's been talking to her.
Yeah, I forgot about all this.
And then he's asking, you know, who the hell are you? And then they don't respond. So then you worry about if you're being led into a trap, if it is her parents, if somebody has picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a big mystery about who's on the other end of that walkie-talkie.
Lee had it at one point, didn't he?
I think you had the option of then taking it away from her because someone's talking to her on it. And of course, she talks back, telling them what you're doing and where you are and things like that.
Well, clearly this is the guy you meet at the end.
Yep.
But what I'm trying to wrap my head around is I can't remember where he got it.
Well, I guess double spoilers. Like, because, okay, well, I think I know where he got it, but.
Okay, where?
Well, let's.
Oh, you want to wait on that?
Let's just.
Because I can't remember. Is it revealed?
Because I think that he finds it in Savannah, and it makes sense that it's in Savannah.
Because that's where her parents...
Right, that's where her parents went.
Yeah, but how would he know that he was talking to her?
You know what? I don't know. I think that's how he gets it, but I don't... Yeah.
Like
it's kind of a far-fetched...
Yeah, that
it's a cool thing they were going for, but it's kind of far-fetched.
Well, it happens to be the same people that found his car, like, miles away.
In another city, and then he finds this.
And how would he know that they were the ones who took the supplies? Is that revealed? Is that explained?
I guess. I think he finds that out. Clem tells him that through the walkie-talkie. Like,
oh, okay. All right. Yeah, that's weird. And
just coincidence that he walks by her parents and finds the walkie-talkie, and then just coincidentally, it happens to be the people who did that, and he talks to her.
But he also would have to beat them to Savannah. That doesn't make sense because
that they find his car there,
yeah,
and then somehow he gets there,
and then somehow
faster
he gets
a train.
Than a train.
Yeah,
that's kind of I didn't really think about this as I was playing the game because it's like super emotional, you know, and you don't really have time to like step back and logistically think about it. But I don't. How the hell would that work? He couldn't have flown to Savannah.
Maybe he had his pilot's license and went to the air yard, found a plane.
Maybe his car was super fast now that all the supplies weren't in it.
It's not loaded down. It's true.
He didn't have all those three boxes of food.
He's
in
got
it.
His Fast and Furious NOS button in that jalopy. He just uses that to get to Savannah really quickly.
At one point, did Lee and Clementine both have a walkie-talkie?
I feel like
I'm really trying to figure out.
Or they might have had
a
different walkie-talkie. I know Clementine's was different because she had the flower stickers
on
it.
Yeah.
He could have had a different walkie-talkie, a different set with like.
Because I'm wondering if like he maybe, like it would make sense if Lee had one and he like left it accidentally at the car after they stole supplies.
Yeah.
We need to get rolling, huh?
Well, I forgot to set the timer.
No. I can tell you what we're at. We're sitting right at 43 minutes right now, but I've got like a whole bunch of stuff of us talking about other shit before we started the show. So
okay. We're
probably only really about 30 minutes in.
Okay. Well, once you help Krista and Omid, then you get the rest of the way to Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you're patrolling the streets. Somebody is running the roofs. You're walking through the streets. Somebody's running the roofs, ringing the bells.
Right.
And you think somebody's trying to, that's who has the walkie-talkie. They're trying to trap you, luring zombies to you with the church bells.
Right.
Because they're attracted to sound.
Yes.
So then you run and find an abandoned house that you then do like a puzzle where you dig up a dead dog to get its collar and send the whole thing to you get in the house. Yeah. And that's kind of a safe area.
It's grim.
There's no food or anything in there, but it's a safe zone.
Yeah.
So you can leave. I left Omid there. And then Clementine and some of the others, and you go off trying to find more supplies. Kenny wants that boat. He said, there's the river that goes by Savannah. There's a boat there. That's after Duck dies, that's all he wants to do is find that boat. That's
right.
The only reason to live is to get a boat. So then you and Lee go down to the boatyard. You and Lee and Kenny go to the boatyard. You find all the boats have been either sunk or they're rotting or they're stripped. So Kenny kind of has a breakdown, and that's when you spot someone free running all over the place.
Right.
And then you can basically trap that person. You have a quick fight with them, which is difficult. She kicked my ass the first like six times I tried. But it's a girl with a free runner with like a hook.
Mm-hmm.
She's very skilled, Molly.
I really like Molly.
Yeah, you
really like
Molly. You fight Molly down, and Molly tells you about... You kind of form a loose alliance with Molly as you run from the zombies mm-hmm. with her, and she tells you about a town of survivors, but
that you don't want to go to.
Yeah, it's an elitist town of survivors. Yeah. Basically, if there's you can't be too young. Yeah,
it's like a Logan's Run kind
of. Yeah, not too young, not too old, any sort of disability, they kill you or exile you. Only the strongest and the healthiest are allowed to live there. And she lived there. It turns out her and her sister both lived there, and her sister had diabetes. And she was doing sexual favors for the doctor in order to get insulin to give to her sister to hide her condition so they could stay. And the doctor finally, after he's done fucking her, just like, yeah, you know what? No more.
And she's young as well, which adds to all this. It's not like she's a woman doing this. She's a young woman.
She's like 16, 17.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it adds an interesting angle to it that like really drives home what kind of people they are in this town.
Mm-hmm. So then basically you talk to Molly and talk to everyone else and you don't have any other option but to go there and try to get supplies.
Right. And I really like this part of the game.
I think this is probably one of my favorite parts of the game.
Really, really like this part of the game.
Because once you go there, you find that...
Because they're based out of an elementary school, mm-hmm, right?
That they've set up and boarded, and you go through like the nurse's office, and you find tapes and camcorder of recorded sessions.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go to like where they did like shop class and things like that and find stuff to repair the boat and repair your any kind of transportation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a cool scenario where you go through and you're... solving these puzzles and finding out that the virus still got in, Walker still got in and killed everybody in there.
Yeah, after all their precautions mm-hmm. and everything that they're doing, the inevitable horde has overwhelmed them.
Mm-hmm. You find the doctor's now a Walker, and Molly goes crazy on kicking and tearing him to pieces. You still I worked with Krista to uncover all the videos to find out what happened. You get supplies. You find medical supplies for Omid and his leg. But you end up getting, so after this, you get all your supplies on your way out. You get separated and Lee ends up in the sewers and you're having to run from walkers just as Lee alone.
Right.
They take, Molly has Clementine and they run and agree to meet back up. So you're Lee maneuvering through the sewers. That is a fun part of the game too.
Oh, I liked it a lot.
And
it's actually a scary part of the mm-hmm. game too.
Cause you're actually having to bang on stuff to try and lure walkers away while you go around and crawl through the awful parts of the sewers, just trying to survive. And you end up finding the secret tunnel from all the people that were rejected from the town.
Right.
You find
there's like three or four of them, right?
Mm-hmm, of old and sick people mm-hmm. in a supply room. You talk to the old man there and you form an alliance with them. He's a doctor.
Right.
The old man is. So then you meet he shows you how to get through the sewers. You go back to your safe house.
Like a doctor does, you know.
And he helps Omid, and then when you come back out, that's when you decide to check the shed in the house. And it happens to have a fully functioning, full of gas, everything boat.
Well, Clementine's in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it gets a little tense because no one can find Clementine.
Yeah.
It turns out she snuck into the garage that was locked. I think she got into the roof or something like that.
Some place only Clementine can fit.
Right. She opens it up and then Yep, there's a boat.
There's a boat, everybody. It's your one of few moments of like bliss in the game.
Right.
And then everyone agrees to go out. Clementine's like running down the street with somebody else and Lee's chasing after her, looking for her. And during that process, Lee's walking by. A walker jumps out of like a bunch of trash cans and manages to scratch Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And he scratches him on the arm. And then you have the choice. People run up behind you. Are you okay, Lee? Because they're just two steps behind you. Yeah. You have the choice, hide it or tell them.
What'd you do?
I told them.
I did too.
So yeah, I get too frustrated with just the idea, the overused narrative of, I'm bad, can't tell anybody.
Yeah, that's how people die.
Yep.
Right? But you know that's how it would go down. You know that's how, like, if things turn to shit tomorrow and the zombie apocalypse happen, like, at least half of the people are going to hide their infection, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's just a flip of the coin.
That's true.
And I think it depends on who you're dealing with. Because if I were infected, there are people I'd want to know and there are people who I wouldn't want
I'd
to know.
I'd think you would tell me, like, I'm infected. Knowing I'm not going to just, like, chop your head off.
I would tell you. I'd send you a text and be like, dude, I was bitten by a zombie. I would not come by today.
Like, I'm glad you texted me, not calling me. You know I hate talking on the phone.
Right? Don't tell Nikki yet. She'll find out herself in a
few
minutes.
She's not going to have sex if she knows I'm right, infected. Exactly. So I'm just going to take this last day and just bang it out all day long.
She does not want a zombie baby, but might happen.
We've seen Walking Dead where they're in the mall, the Night of Living Day, Day of the Dead. Yeah, with the zombie mm-hmm. baby. But
I forgot about that scene. Yeah.
I told them about it. They panicked, but they're like, all right, we'll help you through this.
Mm-hmm.
We have to find, because Clementine, that's when Clementine goes missing.
Yeah.
She runs and you can't find her.
Yeah.
And then
she's not getting a boat this
time. You have to find her again. You go through the sewers again. Your infection's getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the option then of what do you do? And you can cut off your arm or, you know, just go through it.
Right.
So I chose to cut off my arm.
Yes.
Krista was with me. So Krista was the one that sawed off my arm. Basically, the only benefit is if you cut off your arm, Lee looks healthier. If you keep your arm, Lee looks a little sick.
He looks healthier, just, you know, I guess it's a matter of perspective.
Yeah, you don't turn any...
Bleeding stump, face looks all right.
Yeah, you don't turn any earlier, nothing about the changes.
God, that's really
a shame. You climb ladders a little funnier. They changed the animation for climbing the ladder because you only have one hand, but...
I cut mine off as well.
Yeah.
Mainly because I was so invested in finding Clementine.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, through the illusion of choice, I thought that it would actually make a difference. I was worried that if I didn't, that I wouldn't get to Clementine in time.
Yeah.
Which I actually applaud the game for doing because it made me make a decision based purely on emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that I cared about Clementine. Not just Lee cared about Clementine. I, as a player, cared about Clementine.
Because mm-hmm. As you're fleeing, after you get your arm cut off and you're fleeing from like more bandits,
mm-hmm.
and you end up going through like a stairwell and you get to the top as you're trying to run, Ben fucks something up and mm-hmm. he like slips. Bandits and walkers are coming and you have Ben by the hand over this long pit going all the way down this building.
Right.
And he just tells you, let me go. Yeah, I let Ben go.
I did not.
I'd been nice guy most of the game, but it's just like at this point it's like, Ben's dead weight, and my policy was like, if you want to be done, anybody can check out when they want to be done.
Yeah.
And Ben asked to be let go, let him go.
I didn't let him go, and I remember him, that's the moment where I was like, you know what, I should have let him go, because he gets really, really angry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough getting told off by a guy like Ben, because he... really has been screwing up the entire time.
He does nothing good the whole time.
And it's like, I felt like as Lee, I was just covering for him constantly
mm-hmm.
and like trying to make excuses just because I thought, you know, he was a good guy. He just wasn't really skilled.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I kind of wish I'd let him go.
Yeah, because Kenny loves it. Kenny's like, yeah, that Ben guy's dead. Thank God. Thank you, Lee. Thank you for killing Ben.
Yeah, Kenny's a little...
Because I believe it's
Kenny
like...
Kenny does not like it.
I believe it's Ben is the one who was paying off the bandits at the motel, and it's his fault that why... is basically leads to the fact that's why Duck was infected.
Right.
It's Ben's fault. So then Kenny hates
Which
him and...
isn't really... I mean, there's a lot of connections.
Yeah.
There's a lot of conclusions you have to jump to in order to to justify that.
Kimmy was happy, and then you're continuing to flee, and you have the walkie-talkie where the guy is taunting you about where to go if you want to save Clementine.
Right.
So you go through basically into downtown Savannah, and he's in this one hotel, but the whole place is just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of walkers all around it, and you're having to balance and run on buildings and try to get there. And at one point, you kind of get in an argument, and the walkie-talkie gets slapped out of your hand and falls down into one of the rooms in the building you're running on.
Zombie slaps it out.
And you have to... Well, I actually think it was like Kenny or something like that. Like, he gets in an argument, and when he gestures, he knocks it out of your hand. Oh, shit, Lee, I'm real sorry. And then you have...
I just imagine a zombie just walked up and just slapped and just stared at you. What? Like it knocked your tray over. Now what?
But it knocks it out of and you drop it. Something makes you drop it. And you have to go down and get it. So Krista basically jumps down, gets it, but can't get back up. She hears walkers. So then you jump down in the building with her. Kenny forms a distraction and runs off, distracting them for you and Krista and Omid to get out. So then you get to the point where Lee knows he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And you're very close to the hotel. Krista and Omid are there. And you basically, then you can tell... Okay, I'll go save Clementine. You guys meet me here. And you pick the place where you're going to meet them.
Right.
And basically
they're
going
to meet you at the boat.
Yeah. It comes out that Krista is pregnant. And then I told him to meet me at the train.
Oh, okay.
It makes no difference where
you told
them.
I was about to ask. Because, I asked them. Because they give you the option of what, train or boat, right?
Train, boat, and something else.
Okay.
Like, or back
at the house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter what you say.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't see. Yeah. Of course it doesn't.
You basically tell them, wait there.
Uh-huh.
And you guys need to take care of Clementine. Mm-hmm. They promise that they will, and they leave. So then Lee, who is by now so transformed that he can walk through the walkers without being noticed.
Right.
And then, like, you've killed enough walkers already that there is some of the walker stuff on you, and he's so sick and close to the edge. Yeah, you walk through the hundreds to the hotel.
Plenty of grandma squirts all over
you. Yeah, grandma squirts all over the place. And then you walk up to the room that's completed, like, the one room that you can get into. And that's where the guy and Clementine are.
Yeah, the guy who owned the car that you did not take supplies out of.
He basically tells you, I'll kill Clementine unless you sit down and talk to me.
Right, he's got a gun.
And he knows every decision that you've made throughout the whole course of the game. And he basically relays every important decision and tells you how wrong and fucked up you are for every decision that you've made.
Right.
Because he knows everything. Being attached to the walkie-talkie and Clementine talking to them, he knows everything that you've done.
Right.
So you go through it and... Basically, you have the option, you can kind of talk to him and distract him and help Clementine escape, and Clementine can grab the gun. You can either give up your gun and he sits it on the counter behind him, or you can like keep your gun, and I can't remember exactly, but I think I gave him the gun. I gave him everything, like, don't hurt Clementine,
yep,
take
it. I did too.
So then you talk to him and distract him long enough where you can either, you distract him and Clementine picks up the gun and Clementine shoots him in the head, or you distract him long enough that Clementine like knocks over a vase or something like that. So he turns, and then Lee jumps forward and chokes him to death.
That's how it worked for me.
Yeah, that's what I did as well.
Because I was too worried about Clementine.
Mm-hmm.
Like throughout the whole game, that's all I cared about.
Mm-hmm.
It was Clementine. Clearly to the point, and I assume you're the same way, to the point where we had Lee cut off his own damn arm.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I kind of figured he's fucking dead. I mean, he's toast.
Yeah.
He's scratched by a zombie. He's clearly turning. All you can do is for Clementine at that point.
Yeah. So then he's dead. Clementine's upset and you're talking things over.
Mm-hmm.
Then basically you have to get Clementine back across.
Yeah.
So you find a dead walker, pull out its guts and smear all over Clementine, and you guys slowly walk out of the hotel together walking. It's a cool moment, way you have to move and avoid the walkers, because if you get too close to them, they'll notice that you're not one of them and attack you. So it's this thing where you're going side to side, and as you're about to be finished, and then Clementine screams because she sees two of the walkers that are there, and it's her parents. So then she screams, walkers kind of turns, you have to grab Clementine, and you just duck into the closest place, which is a garage. You duck in there and shut and close the door, and Lee, he can't walk anymore. She drags him into that garage as he passes out.
I forgot that she sees her parents. Mm-hmm. I completely forgot about that, but you're right.
So she sees her parents, Lee passes out as the zombies are swarming around her, drags him into the garage, shuts and locks it, and there's basically no escape. And Lee knows he is about to turn.
Yeah, he's turning.
Like, he's got like 5 minutes left. So you kind of amble over. There's a security officer who has changed, and you help basically this verbal puzzle where you're telling Clementine.
He's gotten home from work and changing to more casual attire.
Yeah, he's just sitting there. Man, it's fucking hell out there, man.
Sure, I'm glad I changed into these shorts. A lot more comfortable in this hot Savannah weather.
My, oh my, got my sweet tea in this hot Savannah humidity.
He's got his church flyer that he's fanning himself with.
But you talk to her about how to get past him. You get his handcuffs and you cuff Lee to the radiator. And as he's turning, then you have the option of you either have Clementine shoot you in the head before you can turn.
Right.
Or you make her leave before you turn.
Right.
I just made her get the fuck out.
I had her shoot me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I wanted to be sure. I was worried. I was worried that if I didn't have her shoot me, that Lee would somehow get out of the restraints and kill her. I had to be sure. Had to be sure.
I can understand that.
I can also understand it was a hard fucking decision to make because I didn't want to have, of course, didn't want her to have to do that because mm-hmm. that's a horrible thing that she has to do. Mm-hmm. But I had to be sure, man.
Yeah. Even if you make her run, she's very reluctant. She takes the gun, takes the keys, and she leaves. You don't actually see Lee turn. You just see him gray and just kind of slumps over.
Yeah. I don't think I'm trying to remember because I know I asked her to shoot me, but I recall what you're describing. I recall seeing that. So I don't think she does, or does she?
Maybe she does. Maybe she can't. Maybe you can't make her. I'm not sure. I didn't.
But I remember asking her to shoot me. I may be getting my wires crossed. Please, please pardon me if I'm not correct.
Yeah.
It's been so long. I can't remember. I cried at this point. I remember that.
Yeah.
This game did make me cry. I definitely rolled tears over that scene. Mm.
And as she leaves, you see Lee strapped to the radiator, fades to black, credits roll. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you see just like these fields of like wheat that Clementine is walking through. And she comes and sits in like an abandoned
fields
car.
Fields of amber grain.
Fields of amber grain. And then you see two people walking toward her in the background. And she starts to yell and then doesn't. And then that's when the game cuts out.
Yeah.
Wait for season two.
Yeah. Well, not wait for season two.
Then you don't know if she ever finds Krista or Omid like she was supposed to, or if she signals those people, if that's Krista and Omid, if it's strangers, if it's bandits.
Wait for the DLC, which I didn't play.
Well, 400 Days is...
Stars Joseph Gordon-Levitt, right? Uh-huh, it's about like him finding
Zoe
love.
Deschanel and right. Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Uh-huh. Yeah.
400 Days of Zombie Somber. something like that. So I do get the two confused all the time.
It was a very big cliffhanger at the moment. Like I was like, oh, Brave season two. I just want to know what happens.
Yeah.
I hope you play Clementine in season two.
So you wanted to play as Clementine.
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Because I know that's a big contention of the Walking Dead fans is when it was announced that you would be playing Clementine in season two, some people got really upset about that.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess I can understand because you spend all this time protecting her. It would feel weird to play as her.
Well, see, I was hoping that however you helped her, mm-hmm. the kind of person you helped her become would influence how she is in season two. Whether she's, if you taught her to shoot the gun, if she shot Lee, if she shot the guy who took her kidnapped, mm-hmm. like then she would be...
Make her a better survivor.
She'd be more ruthless.
Right.
And you would have like more angry dialogue options and things like that. Or maybe she would be like a worse shot or more innocent if you went the other way and sheltered her.
Right.
I'm still hoping. We played through the first episode. I didn't really notice... Your decisions transfer over?
Well, we had to generate. When we started season two, we had to generate the decisions because I no longer had my save mm-hmm. from season one.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucked because it generates all the answers that you would have made.
So just randomly.
I have no idea what effect it had.
It would have been nice if they would just give you a rundown of what you could have done.
That is true.
Like that's what they do for Mass Effect. For the PS3, if you didn't play right. Mass Effect 1, you could make all those decisions.
Right.
So that would have been nice if they had done that. But
yeah. And don't they ask you questions in Mass Effect 2 if they don't find a save? Or am I just completely making that
yeah,
up?
Yeah, no, they ask you because you get to choose like Shepard's backstory and the decisions that you would have made. Because it makes a bigger difference, your decisions in Mass Effect. Then it's still not as much as you want them to be.
Sure.
But characters will be dead and not come back and things like that, depending on your... But Walking Dead, we won't go into season 2 just yet. You can watch the Twitch account to see us go into that. But
yeah, I'll give you a link of that for the show notes.
Because, okay, overall, Walking Dead, I think it's an amazing game. You just have to kind of ignore the fact that your choices don't really matter very much and just kind of enjoy the experience and the narrative.
Yeah, if you don't know that your choices don't matter, it's, even if you do, because like when we played season two, I still got wrapped up into mm-hmm. it, even though I know that the decisions we make doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. It's still done in such a dramatic fashion that it is just completely envelops you mm-hmm. as you play it. I mean, it's just an immersive game. It's mm-hmm. ridiculous. Even when we were, you know, riffing on it, it was still an engaging mm-hmm. experience.
Yeah, so we talk like we didn't love it, but we both loved it
so much. Yeah, oh, absolutely.
From a technical standpoint, there are issues, but just from the narrative and how much you enjoy it.
And the plot hole that we just discovered talking about it. Still.
So it's still worth playing. It's a wonderful game.
Yeah.
Telltale does, this is their wheelhouse, and they do it really well.
Certainly. I can agree with that. I'd recommend it. I'd play it.
Well, I don't have any achievements since this game has them. Mm-hmm. And they're all, you get 100% by the time they're all plot related.
I didn't, because for some reason, I guess an achievement was bugged or something. I didn't get the achievement for like chapter 4 or something, or episode 4. So I don't know, just randomly.
Because I played it way like much later after it came out.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
I was a little bummed. That sucks. But
I do have other things.
You have other things. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you have a beard for this game?
I do.
Tyler.
Mm, Tyler. Dave.
If you were to give this game a kind of beard that tells the world what you think about it, what kind of beard would you give The Walking Dead Season 1?
It's a large, like a lumberjack, mountain man's beard. It's red, and it's full, and it's bushy, and it's glistening with tears. It's glistening with tears.
Lumberjacks don't cry, I thought.
The Walking Dead would make a lumberjack cry.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Clementine gets struck through the heart of all lumberjacks.
Yep, I believe it. I wear glasses, Tyler, but I often have difficulty choosing an appropriate pair of glasses. Mm-hmm. If you were to give this game a pair of glasses, The Walking Dead Season 1, mm-hmm. what kind of glasses would you give it?
I would give it a pair of very nice, distinguished black polo glasses.
Okay.
They're black and they're polo brand.
Uh-huh.
And they're steamed up and just like glistening with the tears being shed from the deep blue eyes behind them.
All right. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're describing my glasses.
I am.
You're describing my glasses.
Yeah, those are your glasses.
Yeah. Yeah. I see what you did there.
This is my beard and your glasses, and they're teary.
Yeah.
They're teary.
They do. Yeah. Very, very. I'm surprised this is the first time you've given, this is so meta. Mm-hmm. You've given the game our features.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's why it means a lot. It's a good game. It's a good emotional experience.
I like that. That's touching. I like mm-hmm. that.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you one last question. Every time you'd make a decision and you would see that Clementine will remember that.
Yes.
And she looks sad and upset.
Yes.
Did you restart?
Nope.
I did.
I wanted
every
to.
Every time.
I wanted to, but I wanted to play the game legit. Mm-hmm. And I told myself, I was like this with L.A. Noire as well. Mm-hmm. If I know I fuck up, keep on going. It's just going to make, it has the potential of making the story more interesting.
That's
what I told myself. Although when she looks at you sadly, it was really difficult for mm-hmm. me to not reset.
Yep.
Because it's like, oh, I've disappointed her and didn't mean to.
Yeah. Anybody call us?
We had some people call us. We're running kind of long. Do you want to save them or do you want to play them? We've got 4 calls. The choice is yours and yours alone.
What are we running at?
About an hour 10 and I don't know, maybe 15 minutes of that is us fucking around in the beginning.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do calls.
Okay. We'll do them real quick. So people called us, Tyler.
Yeah.
First call.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Lord Micah Purdue here. Before I get to this week's Would You Rather, wanted to say congratulations on coming up on the 1 year anniversary of the airing of the first podcast, and I actually went back and re-listened to that today just for
nice.
for old time's sake, and brought a tear to my eye. I'm so proud, and yeah, all that sentimental shit. Also, want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas, as probably won't be another podcast released before Christmas. So, to all of Tadpog Nation, a very Merry Christmas from Lord Mike. And that being said, we'll get to the Would You Rather for this week.
that is rather drastic, given that you guys are playing through. I'm playing through also The Walking Dead, starting on season 2, episode 1 tonight. So this week's Would You Rather, given a situation in the zombie apocalypse and you had to remove a limb, would you rather remove an arm or a leg? Would you rather remove your arm or remove your leg? Regardless of, I guess we can go with it has to be amputated because that's the reasoning behind it and everything else, that you've bitten and you're amputating it to stop the infection, yada, blah, 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 blah. So we'll go with that. But just for short sake, would you rather remove your arm or leg? I'm going to go with arm just because it's going to be kind of harder to walk or run, for that matter, away from a zombie. With one leg, you know, especially on crutches, and with at least two legs, you can still run and potentially outrun a zombie. So definitely I would go with an arm. Still suck. Still kind of hurt. But, yeah, arm. So keep up the good work, and I'll talk to you guys later. Peace.
Thank you for calling, Lord Mike. Mm-hmm. I want to say before we answer this question that if it sounds like the zombie apocalypse is happening right now, it's not. It's just the mics picking up Nikki coughing.
There's not a walker in the other room coming for us.
The infirmary is very close. Tadpog infirmary is very close to Tadpog Annex. And unfortunately, Nikki is not feeling very well right now. Mm. So I wish her to get better, mainly so that she feels better. Secondary effect is that we have a cleaner show.
Yep. I feel, really pretty much you got it. In some apocalypse, you got to lose an arm. You've got to be mobile. You've got to be able to run and get around.
I was thinking the same thing, but I think it depends on who is with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like I still, okay, if Nikki survived, I feel like I still want to be romantic. I feel like I still want romantic times, mm-hmm. and I want both my arms for that.
She's like a foot fetish? I guess it depends on what her fetish is. But if it's a foot fetish, you got to lose an arm. It is. But if it's other things.
Definitely not a foot. She does not like feet.
Okay.
I can barely get her to look at my feet. And they're not super ugly feet. They got a little hobbit action going on. But other than that, you know, they're fine. But yeah, I feel like, I don't know. Sure, I'm gonna be a lot slower. And I'll probably die sooner. But you know what? I want my arms, man. I want to be able to interact with the world with my hands. I want to be able to hug Nikki and hold her, and I don't want to die holding on with one arm. I want to hold on with two arms.
See, my left arm is so dominant, I could lose my right arm and it's just,
you'd be okay.
Yeah, I could play video games, but the zombie apocalypse,
or masturbate.
You're not gonna. Oh, I can masturbate with the left hand. I'm good.
That doesn't throw your game off.
No.
You know, you don't. Since you're left-handed, I think you'd use your left hand for your mouse.
No, I gotta use my. Well, my mouse is always on my right side. I am right moused.
Really? Yeah.
So I
never noticed that, but you're right.
Yeah, I can use my left hand for a mouse. I have that capability, but it's a lot easier than my right because that's what I'm used to. So,
well, if you have your video iPod, you don't really even need a mouse.
That's true.
We're not even getting Apple kickbacks.
Set that bitch up on shuffle and you're good. Thank you, Lord Mike.
Yes, thank you. Also, thank you for the gift that you sent.
That's true. So you sent us a very kind gift of Nintendo USB converters.
Yes, thank you. They were on our Amazon wish list and you graciously sent them to us.
So what happens now is Pokemon Evolution style, Lord Mike becomes Exalted Lord Mike number 2.
Exalted. This is his Lord. Second form. Mm-hmm. No, his third form.
Because he was
when he first started listening. That
he was just
first
Micah.
Form. Right.
Yeah, Lord Mike. And this is his third evolution. Does he have more? I don't know. We'll see.
We'll find out. But thanks for calling, buddy. Next call.
Hey, guys. What's up? It's Tony. Your answer to your pigs in Japanese culture, media, anime, and video games, I think, is because pigs in Japanese culture signify or symbolize greed, which I don't know if that makes sense in the Breath of Fire video game or not, but it kind of makes sense with Naruto, with Tsunade and her pig, and she's a gambler, so kind of has that greed tie-in there. Also, I'm pretty excited about you guys doing Ken Griffey Jr. Baseball next week on regular Flavor Wednesdays. I think that Ken Griffey Jr. game is one of my favorite Super Nintendo sports games. I think it's got really good graphics, and I don't think I can come up with any Super Nintendo sports game to have better graphics, and it plays really smoothly. I encourage you guys to play the Home Run Derby mode against each other. I always thought that was a lot of fun when I was a kid. All right, and aside from that, I guess I have a question for you guys. my question is, if you could have a statistic displayed above everyone's head that as they're walking around, what would that statistic be? All right, guys, keep up the good work, and I'll be listening.
Thank you for calling, Impresario Tony.
Yeah.
And thanks for answering the question about the pigs.
Yeah.
The man that you rescue the pig from, the hermit, I think he's pretty greedy.
Yep. He should, once you give him an inch, he takes a mile. You give the mouse a cookie, and he wants a glass of milk. That old man.
I've never heard that.
Have you? That's a whole huge rhyme. Meg loves quoting it to me every time I ask for something.
If you give a mouse a cookie,
he'll want a glass of milk.
Why would you give a mouse a cookie?
Clearly don't.
I've never even thought about giving a mouse a cookie. Like in a million years. Whole damn cookie. Tyler.
Mm-hmm. Or probably you give them a little bit of cookies and I ask for the whole cookie.
And then if you give them the whole cookie. So they just leave the first part out because they know it's just an eventuality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But and we're excited. You're excited for King Griffey's winning run.
I am excited for it.
And we should preemptively apologize. It's a sports game, so we're going to let you down, and we're sorry for it.
Oh, yeah, we'll definitely let you down. Yeah. Oh, don't worry about that.
Yeah.
It's just out of all the sports, I probably played the most baseball and probably understand that sport a lot better than other sports.
Yep, yep.
Except for track.
I don't know shit about track. I did play baseball for a while, though. I do know more about baseball and basketball, I know. But
we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
His question. I'm going to take a page out of Death Note's playbook.
What?
And
no.
Minutes to live.
Be honest.
Minutes to live. That's their stat.
Be honest.
Time left.
Be honest.
Time left.
Be honest.
That's what I want. I want time left.
I figured I had you pegged for your stat. You want to know everyone's sexual history.
Well, I feel like that's not. I mean, that's kind of hard to differentiate. Like, I like to know details.
Stats, it's like there's a little picture of a mouth and a number next to it, and it's like, okay, well, they've engaged in oral sex 19 times, and then there's an omnigenital.
The omnigenital. All bowed before the omnigenital.
And there's a number next to it, and you're like, all right, this person is at it.
16 omnigenitals.
And then there's like what just looks like an asterisk.
Yep.
Like, all right, well, that is a Marshall County version because that number is a lot bigger than the omnigenital version.
That's good. If I could break it down into that kind of category, okay, that'd be good.
You'd be down with that. Good.
That'd be pretty good.
But otherwise, Death Note,
you know, day, you know, time left before they die. That'd be interesting to know.
I want almost Elder Scrolls Oblivion style, except maybe less creepy. Yeah, let's go with less creepy. I want an indicator of someone's disposition towards me.
Okay.
Because I find it incredibly difficult to read some people, and I would like to know, going in blind, what this person's starting disposition is
That's pretty good.
Like, especially with a stranger, you know, where it's like 100 being they absolutely love me and 0 being they want me to die. I want a number.
Okay, that's good. I can dig that. But thank you very much, Tony.
Yes. Thank you, sir.
Hey, Tadpog. This is Paul Korn again. Just coming at you with another question. Do either of you have an interesting story about a celebrity encounter? For myself, I used to work at Blockbuster Video in Green Hills, which is kind of a rich area around Nashville. I've seen a few famous people out there, but most notably, I got to tell former Vice President Al Gore that he returned the movie I Love You, Man 2 days late. So I've always relished telling that story, even though it's kind of a crappy job. It was just, I got that experience out of it, so... keep up the good work, and I'm looking forward to hearing your answer.
Okay, Archivist Korn. I think even though you say that you think that was a crappy job, that definitely needs to go on your resume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that is impressive as fuck. Do you have a story, Tyler?
Well, I talked about Val Kilmer coming into the restaurant I used to work at.
Yes.
I also saw Taylor Made from VH1's New York, I Love New York. One of the contestants.
I know the show, but
he came into the restaurant one day. That's a like F-list celebrity. W. L. Brown came in and talked to my high school class. Uh-huh. I guess in Dragon Con, like meeting Charisma Carpenter when I was in an elevator with Christopher Lloyd. That was interesting. But
you were in an elevator with Christopher Lloyd? Mm-hmm. I didn't know. How did I not know that?
Because I saw him like three times and ended up in an elevator with him, yeah.
I think I might have been in an elevator with Adam Savage because from what I understand, I could be mistaken. I think he took a page out of Bryan Cranston's playbook and wore a mask of himself. At least that's the rumor I heard. And I remember being in an elevator with a guy dressed as Adam Savage, but it looked like he was wearing like a fucked up Adam Savage mask. I really think that was him.
That'd be funny.
The story I was going to tell was when I met Mitch Hedberg.
Okay.
Love.
I was with
still,
you.
Yeah. I still love Mitch Hedberg. Unfortunately, he's dead, which makes me even happier that we stuck around after we saw his set and got to talk to him for just a little bit. I remember... It was a weird scenario because I was going to class at Murray at the time, and one of the marketing professors had a contest at the end of his class for a dollar. He would give away a dollar to any of the students who could answer the question correctly. And I put my hand up at the same time as this girl did. And he said, okay, well, since you both put your hands up at the same time, I'll ask you both to write down your answer and give it to me. So we both wrote down the answer. He looked at him. He unfolded the piece of paper, looked at him, and he just tore the dollar in half and said, you're both right, and gave us each a half of the dollar. So that had been earlier in the morning. Later on, we had gone to see Mitch Hedberg, you and I. And after the set, we're hanging out just to see if maybe we can talk to him. And sure enough, he comes out. And so we want him to sign something. So the only thing I have is this half dollar. And I remember Mitch Hedberg laughed because I guess he thought like I had planned it and like it was a big joke to me. But I was like, will you sign this half dollar? And he looked at it. He's like, that's pretty funny, man. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, it's not a joke. Just please sign the half dollar. Which makes me think of when you met Patton Oswalt.
As soon as you said that, I thought of that. Whenever we met Patton Oswalt and Brian Posehn after their Comedians and Comedy Tour, I had nothing to sign, them to sign.
I've got the poster right over here in Tadpock Annex. Not hanging, by the way. It's leaning against the wall, like everything.
The only thing I had was the wallet of my senior prom picture.
I like how you say it. It sounds like you just got a wallet full of senior prom
photos. All my prom photos.
My wallet of senior prom photos.
So I give it to them, and Patton Oswalt signs his name, and then Brian Posehn writes, best prom ever, Brian Posehn.
That's until he comes to Tadpog prom.
Yep, that's true.
Anyone listening out there, if you could please tweet Brian Posehn and ask him to come to Tadpog prom.
Combine really cross nerd poker with Tadpog.
I really appreciate it. He's a co-writer of Deadpool right now. You know I'm a big Deadpool fan. It would really, really make our day.
Yep. But thank you, Archivist Korn.
Yes, thank you very much. Excellent question. And a good story. We've got one last call.
All right.
From a, looks like a name of a saint.
Oh, okay.
Tyler, Dave, it's Saint Zach here. And also the rest of the Tadpog Nation. Sorry, I just woke up and I remembered that I had to call you because previous episode, you were talking about furries. They do not like to be called furries.
Oh.
That is insensitive to their fetish lifestyle.
Okay.
I don't know how you would define that, but since Jacob got in my ass about saying Oriental in the Fatal Fury 2 episode, I figured I would let you know they like to be called furs.
Yeah, furs?
Furs, not furries. Love the show, still listening every fucking day. And, oh yeah, Dave, please inform us of some other podcasts to listen to because twice a week is definitely not enough for you guys, and I need something else to entertain
myself. Just listen to it three more times.
All right. Have a good day. Well, you record this at night, so I hope you had a good day. And you know what? Vecna blessed.
Ooh. Bye-bye. All right. I can get behind that. I can get behind that. Keeper of secrets. The Vecna is the kind of god that would grant you the ability to see everyone's sexual encounters above their head. Well, thanks for calling, Saint Zach. Yep. Always good to hear from you. Hope you woke up before you started EMPing helicopters.
But, all right, so he furs. I should have thought that Zach would be the one to be like, they prefer furs.
Furs.
So okay. Furs.
Well, you know what? I feel like I'm politically correct way too much. I'm kind of sick of it. I'm just going to keep saying furry.
That's fair.
Are you okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
I hope we don't lose any listeners over it, but you know what? If we do, I just got to be me. I just got to say furry. That's it. Okay. I don't mean anything. I don't mean it to be derogatory. It's just how do we differentiate? Like, oh, did you see those furs? You don't even know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's like Joan Rivers, like what she likes to wear.
Yeah.
No. The people who dress in animal costumes.
You mean the thing on your dog? No, not. I just need to say furries because you know what I'm talking
mm-hmm,
about.
Mm-hmm.
And St. Zach, you didn't answer the most important question that I asked on that episode, and that is when they fool around with their costumes on and their genitals in, is that a heavy petting zoo? Is that what you call?
Yeah, what's that?
What's the name of that party? We need to know. It sounds like you've got the fur connection. I'm sorry, the furry connection. So if you could poll the community and let us know, mm-hmm. I'd appreciate it.
Yes, please.
It.
Yes, please.
There was a question, wasn't there? Was there a question?
You want us to give him more podcasts.
Oh, that's right. To. You don't want me to do that?
I guess we could.
There's so much good stuff out there. I can tell you what's on my phone right now.
I always listen to My Brother and Me.
Oh, yeah.
Sawbones.
Sawbones is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. The Besties.
Oh, The Besties. It's the best video game podcast out there.
No.
It's, like I said before, it's the second best.
Okay.
Second best.
Okay. And then WTF with Marc Maron is usually on. I've got all those on rotation.
I've listened to a few of those. I'm not a huge fan of the interview show, and that's primarily what he does.
Yeah.
But out of all the interview shows, I like his the best. I think it's so much better than Chris Hardwick's.
Yeah.
But that's just, I'm not a Chris Hardwick guy. I know a lot of people like him. It just, for some reason, his delivery is really grating.
He's
to
very
me.
Manic, yeah.
And he always seems like he is extremely self-promoting. Like, mm-hmm. just, it always seems like he's cramming, like, his comedy shows and everything he's working on just down your throat every 30 minutes.
That being said, if he wants us to join the Nerdist Network, yeah, sure, absolutely.
I refuse. I refuse.
Oh, shit.
I refuse.
Oh, man. He could come in now with like a huge check and just break Tadpog.
I refuse. Yeah, he could.
It's in Chris Hardwick's court.
We just split. Chris Hardwick will remember that. as far as other video game podcasts go, I listen to Giant Bombcast sometimes. It is extremely long. So much like our episode right now, but their episodes actually can go like 3 hours. So it's pretty rare that I'll completely go through one. The actors that played Pete and Pete have a podcast, which is monthly, which is great, which means I can actually stay on top of it. Most of the time it's called The Adventures of Danny and Mike. It's hit or miss. I think they're only on like their fourth episode, but so far I think it's been better than worse. My favorite Smodcast podcast is called Tell 'Em Steve Dave, which is, it's all the cast from Comic Book Men that they just get on the mics and talk. They were doing it before the television show. It kind of evolved into that. I can recommend that. I can recommend a show called What Say You, which is, are you familiar with the show Impractical Jokers?
Nope.
It's got one of the cast members from that, two of the cast members from that, and they fuck around. It's pretty funny. I know you really like intellectual shows. Mm. I don't. I like my podcast to be not exactly like morning zoo shows where it's like wacky.
Yeah.
But I do want vulgarity. I do want weird news. I'm really big on weird news. And I want opinionated people saying funny shit.
Okay. All right. I know Meg loves Radiolab. She listens to all the NPR stuff. So there's tons to choose from.
Yeah. Oh, there's a bunch of good stuff. I really like Fast Karate for the Gentleman. It's a meandering podcast of all meandering podcasts that I love. It's about video games and anime. I guess that would be my last suggestion. One more. I'm kind of a podcast junkie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A little bit. So you kind of opened a big can of worms here. Rewatchability is a movie podcast that next to Second Breakfast.
Yeah, I guess we also promote. I do also listen to Second Breakfast.
I listen to Breakfast as well. They're a little more serious than the guys on Rewatchability.
Mm-hmm.
Rewatchability's honestly, man, have you listened to the show,
nope.
Rewatchability? It's kind of like if we were Canadian and did a movie podcast. I really can't recommend it enough.
Okay.
Maybe they'll hear this. They follow us on Twitter and likewise. So maybe they listen to our show. They'll hear this and be like, you know what? Those wonderful Tadpog boys, we're going to plug them on our show.
Let's crossover. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you, St. Zach.
There's my long ass answer. Hope you enjoy it. But hey, to anyone who starts listening to any of those other shows, if you stop listening to ours, please just keep letting it download.
I've got lots of people to thank. But I think I'm going to save it for original flavor.
Yeah, you want to?
It's a lengthy list. I'll save it for original flavor.
All right, okay.
Be a nice send off.
I know. I
fill time talking about baseball. We'll thank people on Wednesday.
I went on and on talking about podcasts and whatnot. So that sounds good. We'll save it.
So thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher. So in this next episode, we'll be talking about IGN's 52nd ranked game, Ken Griffey Jr.'s.
Ken Griffey?
Ken Griffey. Ken Griffey. Ken Griffey Jr.'s winning run.
Yeah.
While you're there, don't forget to subscribe, give the show a 5-star rating, write a review. Stuff happens. Good stuff. Get on board. We love it.
By the way, Archivist Corn, thanks for sending me your address. I will be mailing your Goosebumps book shortly. Sorry, with Christmas and all, I've been kind of overwhelmed, and it's just generally been a shitty week for me. So I'll get that out to the mail.
We'll get it to you. So thanks, everybody. Thanks. I'll thank more people later, next time.
Like Tyler said, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed our program. If you can't get enough Tadpog, what you can do in the meantime is go to tadpog.com. That's where we've got all the show notes. So you'll see everything that we reference here in the show there. You can also go to facebook.com/tadpog. That's where all our awesome listeners hang out and tell us what we fucked up. And we joke around about a whole bunch of shit, and they send some pretty awesome artwork, like Matt Barger just did, of Tyler as the cloud of negativity.
You're so welcome.
Thanks for sending that,
You're welcome,
Matt.
Matthew Barger.
That was really awesome. You can also follow us on Twitter. We're at tadpog_podcast. Like I said, tweet Brian Posehn. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
People can call us, you know.
Yeah, supposedly.
I have to pull the sheet because I still haven't memorized it.
It's fair. It's totally fair.
People can call Tadpog Hotline at 270-883-2555. Want to ask us a question? Ask us a question.
Mm-hmm. Or email us questions. We'll read them on the air. Tyler@tadpog.com. Dave@tadpog.com.
Not Tyler@dave.com.
That may be out there. We won't get it, though. But it's
maybe they'll forward it. I'll email Tyler@dave.com and be like, if you receive any messages that are clearly for a retro video game podcast, could you please forward them my way? Our intro song, Tyler, is a little song called Moves by a gentleman named Sycamore Drive. He's got a Facebook page, by the way. If you haven't checked it out yet, might as well go over there and give it a like.
He's got good stuff.
Yes, definitely. He's going to be doing the Captain Ron music for... I'm sorry, he'll be doing the music for a Captain Ron RPG. I haven't got confirmation on that yet, but it's inevitable.
We should also go ahead and promote Mega Elixir, our other music friend.
Yes,
Mega Elixir has amazing stuff.
Oh, hell yeah. They've done the intro songs for several other episodes, including Blackthorn. I thought the Blackthorn cover was incredible. Fantastic.
Better than the game.
Oh, yeah. Easily. If you haven't heard that yet, check the archives on tadpog.com and at least listen to the music.
They have stuff on their Facebook page as well.
Definitely. Go to their Facebook page and their blogging as well. Mm-hmm. I just read a really interesting post of theirs, which we can put in the show notes as well. Hell yeah. Tyler. A link to our intro and outro song can be found in the show notes at tadpog.com.
Hell yeah.
Until next time,
Trouble Capricorn.
When we start using our outside voices, bad.
Fucking Walking Dead. Fuck, Walk Dead. Fuck. Walking Dead.
We got a stinger in there.